Learning and Development. Episode 11, Herb from HR. Written by Michelle Whelan, narrated by April. This is bullshit, Vera shouted. She sat there, her head turned away, arms crossed, legs crossed, tapping her toes on the ground. I sat at my desk, wondering why Vera and Gary were in my office. Some kind of bitterness had sprung up between them. I couldn't help but agree with Vera, this is bullshit. Why are they here? I agree that this is bullshit, Gary applied. I sat there still not understanding what this bullshit is that has these two so angry. And why does this concern me? Was it work, a course? Why are they agreeing and disagreeing at the same time? Start from the beginning, I asked, seeing if I could get to the bottom of this. Not sure which one will start. Before Gary could say anything, Vera jumped in with one quick sentence. Why can't I read my book in peace? She does have a point here. People do like to read in peace with no distractions around them, but reading during work hours takes away the time from working. Do what I do. Listen to it on audio while you work. Vera, you can listen and work at the same time. She rolled her eyes and let out a little angry noise. I meant at lunchtime, she answered me through the grit of her teeth. I'm sitting in the lunchroom reading and having my lunch. It's my way to wind down from the morning's work. Me sitting there in the lunchroom reading is my time, Sarah, Vera finally said what her issue was. Okay, now I'm confused. Vera can do whatever she wants at lunchtime. That's her hour, and we aren't paying her for that hour. Yeah, that's fine. You can read your book at lunch, I said back at her, confused about this conversation. That's rude, Gary chimed in. I turned my focus on him. How is reading a book on a lunch break rude? What? I don't understand, I said to him. We have a lunchtime social, and everyone is encouraged to join in. It's quite antisocial if you don't, he replied. Oh, great. The office politics had started, and I was dragged into it. This was an area of the office I tried to avoid as much as I could. The office socials, lunchtime chatter, Christmas parties, Kris Kringles, Valentine's Day, and Easter parties. I start to side with Vera on this. Gary, lunchtime is your time, and if Vera wants to sit and read to veg out for that hour, then she's allowed. I back her up. That is 1 hour of your time we don't pay, so she is allowed to do whatever she wants, I continued. But that's very antisocial, Sarah. This company is family, and families have each other's back. It is hard to have someone's back if we don't know them. Vera could be a terrorist as far as I know, Gary added. The words company and family really don't belong in the same sentence. I hate it when people use this tactic to make you belong. I promised myself that this company would be run as a company, not as a cult. Before Vera could throw shade at Gary, I stopped her. First, never say we are family. We are a company, group of people who share the same goals. And second, don't ever say anyone in my team are terrorists, I said, hoping I defused that bomb. Typical, Gary spat out. You would take Vera's side, you both are the same, believing you're better than the rest of us. I went to college too, you know. I don't think I'm better, Vera snapped back. Then join us at lunch. You're the only one who is not part of the social group, Gary added. What social group? I didn't know we had such a thing in our company. Why should I? I'm with Sarah on this. It's my lunchtime and I want to read, Vera shouted. It's still rude, Gary snapped back. I'm rude? I'm not the one with a stack of porn on my desk, Vera added. Hang on, I tried to interrupt. That's not mine, Gary quickly said back. They are for my grandpa. Wait, grandpa? I tried to jump into the conversation. Your grandpa? You want me to stop reading? You need to remove the porn off your desk, Vera shouted at Gary. No, Gary shouted back. Fine, no social club, Vera shouted back. I knew this was going nowhere fast, and I hate office conflicts, and this was so annoying. Why me? Why do they come to me with these office pettiness? I said the only thing I could say. The fuck is wrong with the two of you? Grow up. Who cares what you guys do at your lunch break? Read, don't read. This shouldn't be an issue. Oh yeah, I hate being in HR as well. I sat there with a weird smile on my face. Does this affect your work? They sat there and the room fell quiet. Why can't you just learn to get along? I said, breaking the silence in the room. The two of them still sat there, not able to move. I rolled my eyes, wanting this conversation to go away. "Guys, why can't you solve your own issues by yourself? You don't need me," I told them. I waved them out of the office, and they both got up and walked out. Doug opened the door for them, letting them walk out, and he walked in and sat down. "What did you say to those two? They didn't look happy." "All I said was they need to get along with each other," I replied. "They were fighting over a book. I mean, seriously. If Vera wants to sit and read on her lunch break, then what's the big deal? But Gary is turning it into a big deal. It's antisocial." I continued using quotation marks around the word antisocial. Doug lifted his eyebrows in disbelief and added, "What's the book, Sarah?" "I don't know. Who really cares? I don't care what people did on their break, as long as they can get the project done." "Does it matter?" I said to Doug. Doug dropped his pen on his notepad, rolling his eyes at this. I shifted some paper on my desk and asked, "Why are you here?" "I got the brief for the next client. I thought you might want to go over it together." I was about to say something when we heard loud, racist barks coming from the kitchen. Ruby ran into our office and said, "Yous two need to get out here and stop this." Doug and I leaped out of our seats and raced into the kitchen to find Vera and Gary fighting over her book, while the rest of the office stands around watching. Doug turns to me. "So, how do we defuse this?" I stood there watching the chaos unfolding in front of me, trying to find the words, my arms folded and shaking my head. I really don't know how to defuse this. I didn't think we would have a conflict in our office. I saw our company as a perfect ecosystem. Doug folded his arms, mimicking me. "Looks like we hit the point in our ecosystem to hire an HR manager." "Fuck," was all I could say. Doug walked into the office, followed by his tall, orange-haired guy. "And this is Sarah," Doug mentions to him. He stood there with a huge smile on his face, stuck his hand out to shake. "Hi, I'm Herbert Wilson from HR," he says. As I stood, I went to shake his hand. He was tall, with orange and silver hair parted to one side. He wore turtle shell glasses. His teeth are all straight, and wore a business suit with a tie. He looked like something straight out of a 1950s TV commercial, ready to sell me some crazy crap. "Hi," I said to him as I shook his hands. We both sat down, and he looked around the office. "This is a really nice place," he said. "Thanks," I said, looking around the place. "Hey, call me Herb," Herb said with a smile. This guy was way too positive for someone who works in HR. "Okay," I casually added to the conversation. "Yes, Herb came from the agency," Doug says. "Agency?" I said back. "Oh, don't worry too much about it. I'm just an HR boy," Herb said, correcting me. "What's an HR boy?" I asked. "It's one step down from a manager," he said cheerfully. "Wouldn't that make you an assistant manager?" I curiously asked. "Oh, well, when you put it like that, then yes, I'm an HR assistant manager," Herb added. Something about that didn't feel right. Okay? It was easier to get someone from an agency than to look for someone. They told me about Herb, and I thought he would be perfect for us, as we only need the basics. Doug explained to me. I sat there listening to Doug, thinking I had heard this phrase before. "Oh, that's right, from most of our clients. Are you saying we could just get everyone in the office to do an online course and save ourselves the money?" I asked Doug. This question stopped Doug in his tracks. I could see he was trying to think of an answer, but Herb interrupted. "So, where are we starting?" he asked again cheerfully. I got up from my desk and walked Herb out towards the boardroom. As he set himself up, I told everyone to drop what they were doing and join us in the boardroom. Once everyone was in the room and settled in, I made an announcement. "Morning all, this is Herb from HR." He waves at everyone excitedly. "He is here to train us to be a more effective company," I tried to explain to the team. "You mean a company that doesn't murder each other?" Gary said. "Well, you don't have time for jail. So yes, a company that doesn't murder each other," I explained to Gary. I wave my hand over to Herb so he can take over the room. "Thanks, Sarah," he said with a clap of his hands. As Herb talked to the group, I quickly snuck out. I don't like face-to-face training. Once I managed to get away from everyone, I snuck into the bathrooms, got into one of the stalls at the far end, and sat on the floor. I pulled out a joint from my pocket and lit it up. I never smoked in the middle of the day, but if I'm going to hide in the bathroom for most of the day, then I'm going to need something to do. I took my first drag, then a second, and started to feel relaxed. I flipped through my Instagram, watching all the images and TikToks. Then I started to think about what would happen if I kept smoking. Would the smoke hit the roof and set off the sprinklers? I looked up and saw that we have them, but they are too high and I'm too low. The bathroom would become a hot box before any of the smoke would hit those sprinklers. Then I thought about how much smoke I needed to smoke to get a decent hot box going. I wonder if it's enough to kill me. I wonder if I can turn this cubicle into a hot box. But hotboxing is not cool anymore, so that I couldn't do that, and I should swap to edibles, but know me, I would eat too many. How many edibles can you eat before I can die? I swapped apps and started to Google when a bash on the toilet door made me jump. I had to quickly think where I was, school or work, but not a company I work for. Sarah? I know that voice, but who is that? Sarah, it's Ruby, open up. I let out a long, dragged huff, knowing it was just Ruby. I lifted my arm and opened the door. She came in and stood there looking down at me. Don't judge, I said back to her. She places her hands on her hips. I looked up at her, feeling she was about to judge. You're lighting up instead of doing HR training, she said down at me. I placed the joint between my lips and flipped through the apps on my phone. I don't like face-to-face training. I also don't like HR. She closed the door and sat down next to me. I shuffled across to make room for her. She pulled the joint out of my lips, feeling the paper pulling off my dry lips, and also took my phone. She took a few drags and then added an episode of Crash Course. She balanced my phone onto the toilet roll holder and handed back the joint. If we're going to hide away, we might as well make the most of it. I know I'm not a fan of people, but in fact, I never understand people and their ways. There are things people do that confuse me, from making friends, being polite, dating. Oh, dating is the worst. I could write a book on why dating sucks so much. But I never thought that I would start making friends. I mean, having Daug in my life has been great, and I would have been happy to have just him. But then we grew our company and met new people. I saw our relationships with these people as more of a boss and employee kind of relationship. But then there is Ruby. I didn't think much of her, but we talked and talked some more, and then started to hang out and share secrets, girly secrets. Those funny, silly little secrets that you can't share with your guy friends that hit you at a different level. I held the end of the joint to examine it as I blew out my last drag to see how much was left. I could hear Crash Course going in the background as we were now up to literature playlist. Do you ever remember reading Catcher in the Rye at school? Ruby said. The sound of her voice snapped me out of my thinking and changed this thinking pattern to another load of thoughts. I was glad to have Ruby in my life, a new friend, someone who different to Doug but same. Maybe Ruby and Doug should go out with each other. Nope. See, back in Australia, all of our reading material was set in World War II. It was like they were hammering that into us. I handed the last of the joint over to Ruby. I never took literature at school. I never saw the point. I looked over at Ruby, who took the last drag and said, How do I answer why Jane Austen wrote Pride and Prejudice or why Shakespeare killed off Romeo and Juliet in the end? I turned back to watch the ending of the Crash Course episode and said, How do you stretch that into 500 words? They were starving artists and they needed to create something that would hit people in their feelings. This makes them money and puts more bread on the table. Ruby giggled, then laughed hard. As her laughing died down, I heard the toilet door opening. Sarah, I heard my name shouted. Now this voice I know very well says, Down here, Doug. I heard footsteps heading towards me, and then they stopped. A face appeared under the toilet door. Ruby is in here too? Yeah, we are lezzing out, I quickly answered him. With Crash Course on? Doug said back with his face on the floor. It's inspirational, Ruby said to him, trying not to laugh. I don't get it. Doug said with his face on the floor. What? We can't listen to nerds talk about nerd stuff while we finger tap each other, Ruby added. Okay, that one made me laugh. You know that's against HR policy, Doug added. Did you just learn that? I asked him. He stood up and Ruby leaned up to unlock the door. As the door swung open, Doug added, "Nope, but you need to get out here and see what is going on." "What? It can't be that bad," I asked. Doug slowly waved his hand towards the exit of the bathroom. "I better see what is happening." As I exited the bathroom, I suddenly stopped in my tracks. I looked around the office, witnessing the chaos that was happening. People punching each other, screaming, yelling, fighting, and pulling their hair. Why was Devin jumping up and down on the desk yelling, "Hang on, is there a fire in the corner of the room? What the hell just happened?" I disappear for a small moment and the whole thing turns into warfare. I was about to shout stop when, in the corner of my eye, I noticed the tall orange hair Herb rolling back and forth, crying. I knew that this was his mess. He managed to say something or do something or cause something to make this mess. We locked eyes, and he quickly stood up. He wiped his face from the tears, marched over to me and said, "Sarah, I'm sorry, but I can fix this." I paced up and down in my office, trying to think. Herb sat on the couch, trying to make peace with the mess outside. Doug and Ruby stood there, observing not only the mess, but also how I was going to handle it. "I am sorry, Sarah," Herb finally said again, pleading. I stopped pacing to stare down at him. How could someone from HR could cause warfare in an office? "I followed everything by the book," Herb explained to himself. "Book!" I shouted at him. "What book? Is there an HR book that all HR managers must follow?" "Well, yes," Herb tried to explain. "I did everything they taught us in HR school, such as how to try and make peace between the parties and redeem the calmness in the office. All employees need to see things in every side," Herb continues to say while panicking. "Herb, you call this calm?" I yelled, waving my hand to show him what was happening outside. Herb buried his face into his hands. "I knew the methods in the book don't work," he casually mentions. I stopped in my tracks. "What does he mean these methods don't work?" He looked up to see me staring back at him, waiting for an explanation. "Something about the way they sorted out conflict in the book didn't seem right to me." I took a deep breath, trying to think of something to say here. "Why does this always happen to me?" Herb whinged. "What?" I asked. "I always follow the book, and this always happens. Every company I have worked for, you going to fire me?" Herb complained to me. I was about to say, "Yes, and he is so fired." But Doug stopped me. "Herb, this is not your fault." "The fuck it is," I yelled at Doug. "Wait, I can fix this," Herb said, suddenly shooting up from the couch. "There are these icebreaker or conflict techniques we do at church. Maybe some of these ideas could work here. If I swap a few things around, maybe we could use these techniques to bring humanity back to this office." "That's thinking outside the box, Herb," Doug agreed to this. They all turned to look at me, waiting for my response. I didn't like this one bit, but if doing things by the book has caused this mess of warfare, then using an unorthodox method could make things worse. "Fine," I said quickly, "but no Jesus stuff." I sat there in the Morgan's coffee place, slowly sipping on my coffee. Doug places his hand on my leg, rubs for comfort. "Sarah," he says in a soft voice, "give Herb a second chance." I swatted his hand off. "You saw the office? I'm surprised that no one has quit." "Maybe they needed to get it out of their system. Then they can do their work," Doug said as his took his last sip. I look in the bottom of my coffee cup. How could we let our company get this bad? It was just a small argument over a book. And the book wasn't even that bad. So what? Some older women do get a kick out of Twilight. I rest my face on my hand and stared at Doug, waiting for him to say something else. When he didn't say anything, I waited for my own thoughts to sort themselves out so I could say something else here. "Once the office is back to normal, Herb is gone," I said, still resting my face on my hand. "Fine." Doug said, "But next time we have an office issue, we will need to hire someone else." He slams his paper cup on the table and gets up from his chair. "Come on, let's see how calm the office is now." I threw back the last drop of coffee in my cup and then joined Doug. We arrived to the office, but I couldn't help notice how dark it was. The light was dim, and there were candles everywhere. As we walked into the space, there was this slight humming of voices going on. Doug slapped me on the chest to stop me from going in any further. He pointed over to the middle of the office space to see a glowing light and all these robes standing in a circle. What the fuck is going on? Herb, I shouted, interrupting the chanting. Herb pulls off his hood from his face. Sarah, so glad you're here. Check this out. As he said this, everyone in the circle pulled off their hoods, revealing that everyone underneath them were members of our office. Herb stepped aside to let Doug join in their circle. I looked down on the ground to find a pentagon design in salt, and Vera lying on the top it with her arms folded in a cross. I also couldn't help noticing the salt was pink. You use the salt from the kitchen? The Himalaya salt? I said to Herb. Yeah, it was the only salt I could find, Herb confessed. Are you making sacrifices? Doug finally said something. Well, yes. We do sacrifices as icebreakers at my church. It's always a great way to know people, Herb explained to us with a smile. I looked back down at Vera. I must sacrifice, Sarah, she said, looking up at me. Yeah, kind of had to use people. I didn't have a goat on hand, Herb continued to explain. The fuck? This is much worse than the HR book. You are making sacrifices. Herb, sacrifices, I yelled at him. I had never dealt with a client this bad before, or some co-workers. I help Vera off the floor while Doug turns the lights back on, and everyone derobe disappointed. Everyone back to work, I said as I pushed Herb back into my office. Once the doors were closed, I turned to Herb, who was standing right behind me. Sacrificing? What kind of church does sacrificing? Church of Satan, Herb replied. Doug and I turned to look at each other, making sure we heard what Herb said was correct. Oh yeah, I'm a Satanist, Herb explains to us. Do you know how dangerous that is, Herb? I said back, stunned at this. Yeah, a lot of people do seem to have an issue with it, Herb added. An issue? It was Doug's turn to be stunned. Look, you both said it was okay to use some ice-breaking techniques from my church, Herb said. I placed my face in my hand in disbelief. I can't believe I need to tell the only guy in HR we have that it's not a good idea to sacrifice co-workers to keep the peace in the office. Yes, Herb, we did. But it would have been nice to be told which church these techniques came from, as there is a lot of people out there who would find these techniques a bit. I have to think of a word to try not to offend Herb. Unorthodox. Herb took off his robe, slowly realizing the mistake he had made. I watched him drop his head and fold his robe into his arms. He let out a huff and then said, I'm sorry, Sarah. I was only trying to help. He stepped between Doug and me and left the room. Here I am again, sitting on the floor in the toilet at the end of the bathroom. It's the only place I can get some peace and quiet for a while. Plus, it's also cool in here. I'm typing away at some content that Ruby asked me to proofread while thinking about what had happened today. The last conversation I had with Herb kept dancing in my head. I felt bad for what I said. I know Herb was trying to help, and what he thought was helping was creating more a problem. We would need to explain to everyone in the office what had happened and why it was bad. Not only that we will need to find another HR manager. My God, I have to find another HR manager. The last thing I need is someone walking around making sucking soup noises each time I open my mouth. I suddenly stopped doing what I was doing. I turned to find Doug lying on the floor staring at me. I pulled my headphones off. What do you want? I have been looking for you. I needed to remind myself to come to the bathroom to find you more often, he said as he turned around to lie on his back. How long have you been staring at me? I asked him. Not long, but Rube's told to come here, he explained. You okay? He added. I'm fine. Why? I said as I got back to my work. Just wondering. It's been a day, Doug said. I smiled at that comment. It really has been a day. As much as I like sitting in the bathroom to do my work and enjoying the quiet, it does get uncomfortable. I adjust myself and said, Has Herb left yet? Not sure? Doug added. I shut the lid of my laptop and got off the floor. The numbness in my body started to disappear as I opened the door of the cubicle and stepped over Doug. Out of natural habit, I washed my hands and left the bathroom, leaving Doug lying on the floor. I walked into the office space and noticed how quiet it was. I looked around to see everyone was back to work, busily building, working, general chit-chat. It was surprising from this morning. I walked into my office. I suddenly stopped to find Herb sitting in my seat. "Sarah, glad you're here," he said to me. I looked around my office, wondering if I stepped into another dimension. "I was going to leave you this," Herb said, tapping a folded piece of paper in his hands. "Leave me what?" I asked. "It's my letter of resignation," Herb said. "Your what?" I didn't understand why would he hand in a letter of resignation. "Doug hired me on for a week and I couldn't even last a day," Herb explained to me. "I know you're going to fire me, so I decided to make it easy for you and just quit." I looked behind me to the quiet and calmness in the office again. The office was back to the way it was, and for some reason it was Herb and his sacrificing that did this. I took a deep breath, realizing that I need him. I need Herb to be here. I walked over to him and took the letter out of his hands. I ripped it up in front of him and then sat down in the chair. I leaned in towards him and said, "Herb, I'm not accepting this. Look, just look." I point to the office on the other side of the glass. "You did this, you returned my office back to normal. Before it was chaos, warfare, and lots of yelling. But you came in and did your..." I have to try and think of other words here. "Methods, and now look at them. They are back to normal." Herb looked over my shoulder to see the office going about their day. He returned his glance back to me. "Herb, let's make a deal here. I know you need a permanent job, and I need a HR manager. Why don't you stay on and be that HR manager? I can't stand HR and HR stuff. I need someone to keep that shit away from me. Please be that guy," I explained to him. Herb's face lit up. His frown turned to a smile. His eyes started to gloss over. "I'll be a HR manager. Not a HR boy, but a manager," he said to me. "Yes, HR, whatever you want to be," I said to agree with him. He stood up from my desk, feeling proud of himself. "Oh, Sarah, you have a deal." He placed his hand out for a shake. I slowly grabbed his hand. He pulled it in tight and gave me a hard handshake. "Oh boy, I can't wait to tell my wife this. She's going to be so happy." He walks out behind my desk and heads towards the door. Before he closes it behind him, he takes one more look at me and says, "See you tomorrow, work buddy." I stood watching him cheerfully leave the office space. The one and only thought came to my mind, "Oh shit, what the hell have I done?" You have been listening to Learning and Development. Tune in next time.